With the fourth pick of the 2020 MLB draft, the Kansas City Royals select Asa Lacy, a left-handed pitcher from Texas A&M University.
Royals get a big, tall left-hander from Texas A&M with the fourth overall pick. Major League Baseball draft last night, the first round, and some compensatory picks. And then tonight, rounds 2 through 5, and the Royals will go through their picks from last night here in a moment. Plus, we'll hear from Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Tyrann Mathieu, and NASCAR makes a statement yesterday. We'll get to that and much more. Plus, our play-by-play classic, Beloit volleyball team, around 9:40 or so this morning. We'll replay a third set of their match against Silver Lake back in October of this past season. We start with the Royals. The Royals do pick up a left-handed pitcher with a fourth overall pick in the draft, and that is Asa Lacy, and he is a very talented individual. Here's Dayton Moore, the GM of the Royals, on the fourth overall pick.
You talk to all the elite veteran head coaches at the major colleges. In fact, Tim Corbin said it tonight. There hasn't been a more impactful pitcher in the SEC in the last 18 years. And that was the common theme of every SEC head coach and assistant coach that we spoke to. We talked to pitching coaches around the league in the SEC.
Lonnie Goldberg, assistant general manager for the Royals, says that Lacy wanted to be with the Royals.
We spent as much time as we did with the player, getting to know him, and there was just a comfort level. It was a good feeling. You know, I don't know where the text is, but I know he sent a text to somebody saying, this is exactly where I wanted to be. And so that means a lot to us. That means a lot that the player we wanted, you know, that we didn't think was going to get to us, ended up where he wanted to be and where we wanted him to be.
What more on Lacy coming up in a moment. The Royals also drafted a shortstop, and that was Baylor shortstop Nick Lofton with the 32nd pick, and the Royals shocked that he was there.
We even considered Nick Lofton as high as 4. And speaking to Nick Lofton tonight, I mean, the only thing he kept talking about is how we're going to win a World Series. I mean, this kid is a champion, and like Lonnie said, I mean, that's just perfect fits for us.
Royals were prepared to take a position player at number 4, but then they got some intel earlier in the day yesterday that Austin Martin, a third baseman outfielder, could slide to number 4. There was also a chance that Asa Lacy could slide to number 4. And Goldberg says, we made the advanced decision that if that scenario happened, we would take Asa Lacy. There just aren't that many people on this earth with his kind of talent. We were thrilled. It's not like we went to bed last night thinking Asa Lacy would be there at 4. No way did we think that. And Lofton fell to number 32. The Royals had rated Lofton so high that, as you just heard Dayton Moore, they thought about taking him at number 4, believe it or not, over Austin Martin. Lacy, who was drafted by the Indians in the 31st round in 2017 but opted to go to college, had an ERA 0.75 as a junior this season, struck out 46 batters in 24 innings before COVID-19 shut her down. Opponents hit just 111 against him in 4 starts. Last year, opponents hit just 162 against the Texas A&M left-hander, and he was selected to the 2019 USA Baseball Collegiate National Team. Goldberg said that we had him rated as the number 1 pitcher in the draft, regardless of left or right-handed. He's got no-hit stuff each time he goes out there. He's coming to us, and it's a perfect fit. So the Royals are excited to have Asa Lacy. He has had a few issues with some command at times, 3 or 4 walks per 9 innings. But, man, this guy has been on hittable times. He has 3-plus pitches. He can throw a fastball 92 to 97. It's a heavy fastball, improved slider, and he has a really good changeup. And he could be part of this future rotation with Brady Singer, Jackson Coar, Daniel Lynch, among others, that the Royals have drafted. And they're all pretty tall, pretty strong, pretty powerful pitchers. And the Royals are building something here, and it'll be interesting. Chris Bubik's also another one that they're high on. The slot bonus money for the number 4 pick is $6.64 million. And, of course, the Royals getting the Lofton can at short. If you're a real diehard Royals fan, you may say, well, what about Bobby Witt Jr.? We drafted him. He's a shortstop. We got Mondesi, a shortstop. These guys can move around. They're athletes. Yeah. They can move to the outfield, play third. I mean, Alex Gordon moved from third to left and became a Gold Glover. So don't get too worried about that. You take the best talent that's available. There is some talk about Austin Martin. Should you take him or should you take Lacy? And the Royals went with Lacy. And if he, you know, stays healthy, he could be special. The Tigers took the number one pick. They had it. They went with third baseman Spencer Torkelson, Arizona State. Orioles took Heston Gerstad, outfielder, Arkansas. Some people were surprised about that. That opened the door for the Royals to get one of two guys that they wanted. Mm-hmm. The Marlins took Max Meyer, right-hand pitcher, Minnesota. And the Royals got perhaps the best pitcher in the draft. And then Austin Martin, a shortstop, but also could play outfield. Many people thought he'd go number two to Baltimore. And the Blue Jays picked him up, and they were thrilled to get him. So the Royals get the picks 4 and 32 last night, and they're pretty excited about their picks. And they will have more picks here today. They will have pick 41 early in the second round. They'll have pick 76 in the third round, pick 105 in the fourth round, pick 135 in the fifth round, and that's it. Normally 40 rounds, this year 5 rounds due to the lack of revenue not coming in with no baseball season so far and COVID-19 a big impact of that. And, of course, the bigger thing, as we talked about, if you missed the show yesterday, is the Royals can go out and sign anybody, or kids may be coming to them saying, I want to play for the Royals, because they take care of their minor leaguers, as we've seen here recently, continuing to pay them, even though there has been no season, didn't release any of their players or personnel, and the Royals could have the pick of the litter when it comes to anybody sixth round or later in normal years that won't get drafted this year because there's only 5 rounds of the draft. So, you know, if you're a Royals fan, you got to be pretty excited about what happened last night. I think you got to be excited about what might happen tonight. And I think you can be even more excited what's going to happen the rest of this week because this is a chance for the Royals to maybe speed up the rebuilding process.
Absolutely. And that's what they're focused on right now, to get guys like you heard a little bit about Lacy that might be not that far away from the major leagues,
yeah.
You know, and could get there a little quicker. And I think that's always exciting if you can actually get those guys and that actually pans out and they're going to be ready to go here in maybe even a couple of years, you know, and be part of the team. That's always exciting if you can get guys like that. And it sounds like Lacy could be one of those guys.
Absolutely. So we'll continue to watch it and we'll update you on who they took tomorrow on the Sports Ticket and on Sports Tomorrow as the Royals have more picks tonight, round 2 through 5 of the Major League Baseball draft. We turn our attention to another professional team in Kansas City. Of course, they're Sporting KC, so it's not just the Royals and the Chiefs. Although I grew up, that's basically all you had. The Chiefs, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Tyrann Mathieu on teleconferences yesterday. Of course, the big topic right off the bat is the Black Lives Matter movement and the many questions, of course, and topics to cover. Including kneeling and the movement and what Andy Reid thinks about his players being a part of the social video that went out basically demanding the NFL to admit they made a mistake, so forth and so on, with Colin Kaepernick and others in regards to preventing people from protesting or being punishment for that. And so Andy Reid, let's start with him. He came out a-blazing, had energy with his teleconference, and spent a good amount of time talking about the issues that people really wanted to ask him about. Andy Reid, here is his comments on supporting Patrick Mahomes and Tyrann Mathieu and the Black Lives Matter movement.
We're sitting here with this push on Black Lives Matter, and absolutely they matter, man. I think it's a beautiful thing. I'm in complete support with them. I believe in communication. I believe in what my parents taught me about. At times like this, you have large ears, man. You sit and you listen and you learn and you become better. And so that's where I'm at. I appreciate Patrick and Tyrann for what they did and standing up and making a statement that allows all of us to be in a better place where love is first and we can surround all of ourselves with great people and most of all respect the people.
So Andy Reid supports it, and also the Chiefs front office supports it, according to Coach Reid.
That's what really our guys want, man. They want to take this and allow others to feel it, man. And we've got to be open-minded and open-hearted to do this. So I respect how Clark Hunt has taken this and jumped in with the players and just said, hey, listen, I'm in support. I'm all ears, man. I want to learn and I want to listen and I want to help. And Mark Donovan has been just tremendous with the guys, as Brett Veach has been, and their support. And Tyrann and Patrick have kind of headed up with the players and putting together some thoughts on what they can do to make things better in Kansas City here. And they're working through that.
Chiefs head coach Andy Reid goes on to say he's pretty proud of the younger generation.
With the racial issues going on now, it breaks my heart. you know, I'm an old head, so I've been around long enough to have seen a few generations and now a couple, three different generations come through, including my own. And I'm so happy. I'm so fired up about our younger generation, man. I mean, they are taking it and they're attacking this thing the right way. And I just think we have this great country, and these kids know how great this country is. They absolutely know how great it is. And all they want to do is make it better. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
The message from Andy Reid is pretty simple. Let's listen and try to learn.
My heart goes out to the three people that have passed away. But this isn't something that's new. I mean, I saw it as a young person, and it's going on today. Technology has exploited it here, so we can all see it. And you better believe it, man. You better believe it. It's real, and it needs to end. This younger generation, they are studs. They believe in themselves. They believe in each other, and they believe in equality. And let's jump in, man. Let's jump in full-fledged. Let's jump in. Let's learn. Let's listen. And let's make this place even greater than it already is right now.
What about kneeling? That, of course, is a major topic. More on that here in a moment. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they said, well, what do you think is going to happen in the NFL? I'm like, what do you mean? What do you mean what's going to happen in the NFL? I said, well, don't you think the NFL is going to be really hurt if all these players kneel? I'm like, well, you think all the fans are going to quit watching football? I said, I don't think it's going to hurt the NFL. I mean, it might hurt them a little bit in regards to some fans, but I think they may gain some fans too. Mm. I mean, it's funny because you know where somebody stands on the issue when somebody's talking about losing fans and they don't even consider the thought that they could be gaining fans.
Yeah.
You totally know where somebody stands on the issue without them even understanding that they're revealing their true colors on it, which is fine. I mean, everybody's entitled to their opinion. Here's Andy Reid on kneeling.
I haven't even gone there. This isn't about kneeling. It's about progress, man. And so we all get hung up on this other deal. That's not what this is about. But if we can just focus in on appreciating life, appreciating people, not judging by the outer skin. I you know, you asked this question, man. I appreciate you asking, but I used to do a thing with blow pops. And when I talk to kids and try to educate, this is from when I was young and up through until today. And I take four blow pops, pick three kids, say we're going to have a bubblegum blowing contest, right? Within one of those blow pops, I take the wrapper off, put a $100 bill in, run the wrapper. Not one time in the 50 to 100 times that I've given this talk has anybody picked the wrapper that's messed up, right? That looks like it's been messed with. Because everybody, you know, people judge by what's on the outside, what they see, instead of getting in and enjoying what's inside, which, you know, is in this example would be that bubble gum, man. And so let's get away from judging. And this goes for everybody. This goes, you know, but let's, we're talking about racial issues here. Let's get in. And let's see what's inside people. And when you do, you're going to see beauty, man. There's some beautiful, beautiful people out there that we're putting walls up against that we don't have an opportunity to meet. We're not here on Earth very long, man. I'm taking advantage of every person I meet. I'm going to take advantage of that person and try to shoot them and look at them for the good. And then if they prove opposite, then I'll go that direction with it. But I'm going to give people an opportunity. And I've tried to do that throughout my life. And again, that was from my parents and my upbringing and where I grew up. So, but this whole thing, I mean, it needs to end.
This is some powerful words from Andy Reid. That analogy is really a good one.
Yeah.
That he used, you know, people judge things from the outside and instead of inside. And the other thing that stood out to me in that comment is his upbringing. And, you know, I look at there's a situation where there's a high school student from Russell that put a very disturbing image on social media. And the initial reaction is to vilify the kid. And I get it. I get it. I mean, it's not smart to do what he did. But my first question, and you and I talked about this the other day, is where's his parents?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, did his parents raise him to be this way? Did they help contribute to that? Maybe it's grandparents are still alive that contribute to it. I don't know, but you're not born to be that way.
No.
You're not born to come out of the womb and, you know, be, I mean, you have learned behaviors. We all have them. And so when Andy Reid says upbringing, you know, if he was brought up a different way, he wouldn't be saying what he just said at all. So that's a big part of it. Speaking of upbringing, Patrick Mahomes has a black father and a white mother. Did you not know that? In essence, Mahomes is biracial, okay? He's got a white mom. He has a black dad. And Mahomes certainly has been fortunate. He's been a great athlete all the time. The people don't see the color of his skin as much. I saw another great athlete who is black that said, you know, I've been fortunate to where I haven't seen too much of this because I've always been a very talented athlete. And so people saw me as a talented athlete, not as a black person. Mm-hmm. And didn't judge him on the color of his skin. But if you're just a regular Joe, then it'd probably be a little bit different, which I thought was an interesting point. Here's Patrick Mahomes. Of course, he was part of the social video that the NFL players put together and sent the message to the National Football League. It was a very powerful message with other stars like Deshaun Watson, Zeke Elliott, Saquon Barkley, Odell Beckham Jr., among others. And Mahomes, even though he's at the young age of 24, he's well aware of the impact that he has.
I'm definitely aware. I'm aware of everything. I'm aware of my surroundings. I'm aware of coming off a Super Bowl championship and being the quarterback of a Super Bowl winning team. But I've always believed in people, and I've always believed in when people do things together and do things for the right reasons and have a good heart when they do it, that things get done and change happens. And so that's how I've grown up in a locker room, so I've seen how people have come together and strive for a certain goal and to go do things. And I believe that if people have the right intentions and have the right heart and come together, that they can really affect the world and make it a better place.
All right. Mahomes is 24, and he has a gigantic platform that he can use. He has a platform many people don't have. Mahomes on how he wants to use his platform.
I think the biggest thing that I've done is just lean on people that I respect who I believe done it the right way. And I've been lucky enough to grow up with a lot of great role models around me, and just trying to find and listen to them as they talk to me, and then other people around the league who I feel like I've done it the right way and listen to the advice they give me, and then trying to make the best informed decision as far as what I do and the next steps I take to move forward, because I've been given this platform and I want to make sure that I can do whatever I can to make the world a better place in whichever way that is.
And as we said, Mahomes is just 24, so he's mature enough to understand he's still got some learning to do.
I'm 24 years old, so I'm maturing and learning things as I go. But I've learned a lot from people like my dad and LaTroy Hawkins and Coach Reed, and learned that there's ways to handle things in order to get your point across and to respect people and do the right thing. But you have to learn and have your own experiences to do that. And so just taking as much information as you can, making the best informed decision that you believe you can make, and try to do whatever you can to make the world a better place in every action that you take.
We'll get back to Mahomes here in a moment. I want to jump to Tyrann Mathieu. Tyrann Mathieu, of course, was one of those players as well, along with Patrick Mahomes and others, in that 67-second video that really caused the commissioner to respond in less than 24 hours to it. And it was a pretty powerful message the players sent to the National Football League in there, Commissioner Roger Goodell. And they certainly, the league and Goodell, they heard those words. Here's Tyrann Mathieu on impacting the community.
You know, I think our social responsibility, you know, I think it goes far beyond the football field. I think we have a true impact in our communities. I think we're able to influence, you know, masses of people. And, you know, for us, it's about, you know, owning that and doing it the right way, you know, and being conscious that the only way we're going to ever get any kind of change is if both sides, you know, are willing to change. And so that's the biggest thing, is to, you know, fall forward together.
Okay, we'll get to a couple more things here in regards to this issue in just a moment that ties two sports. This is, I already have my planned response for somebody if they ever say this to me. And I have friends in the radio industry, they're in the sports talk industry, that have been told this by people in bigger markets. And it is a extremely lazy response and take that people have. And Patrick Mahomes has heard this response as well. Even people on television have tried to tell people that you have a right to this, but you have no right to talk about that. Okie dokie. So here's Patrick Mahomes on his response to people that say, stick to sports. Stay out of politics. Don't worry about any of this stuff. Just stick to sports. Here's Mahomes' response.
We are people, too. And I feel like those people have kids and they understand that their kids can play sports and their kids could possibly be in the same position that we're in. And they would want their kids to show their heart and show who they truly are and try to affect the world in the most positive way possible. And that's what we believe that we're doing. And so obviously we know that not everyone agrees with everything that you're going to say. Just know that when we say stuff, we mean it and we care and we want to make the world the best place for our future kids and for generations to come behind us.
Okay, when I hear the stick to sports thing, it's interesting because a lot of sports talk shows don't always talk sports. They'll joke around, they'll tell a story, mm-hmm. and it has nothing to do with sports. And I don't hear the outrage about quit telling your little stories about being at home with your kids, stick to sports. Never hear that, do you?
No.
All of a sudden, it's something that you don't agree with, and now you suddenly say stick to sports. So here's my response to anybody out there that thinks people that host a sports talk show should stick to sports, or you think athletes should stick to sports. What's your profession? That's my comeback. What's your profession? What do you do? You're a construction worker? You're an insurance agent? You're a banker? You're a mechanic? You're a weatherman? Meteorologist? You're a police officer? You are a business owner that has nothing to do with sports? Just examples. That's what you do, right? Then why do you talk about sports? Why don't you stick to what you do? Why don't you stick to being a mechanic? Why don't you stick to being a construction worker? Why don't you stick to being a banker? Why don't you stick to being an insurance agent? Because it's the same thing. It's the same thing. It is one of the most idiotic comments that people out there can throw out there is that you just stick to sports. They're robots. Are they supposed to not have an opinion? Because you have an opinion, and your opinion is to stick to sports. So if you have the right to that opinion, doesn't anybody else have a right to their opinion? I just love in this whole thing, that's what really, really irritates me. And I really am lacking the patience to deal with this. And that is, people want to shove somebody's opinion down somebody else's throat. Somebody else has the right to their opinion, and this person argues they shouldn't have that opinion, yet why the hell should you have your opinion? I mean, come on. You both have a right to an opinion. Now, if you don't want to listen to the opinion, that's fine. But if you're going to tell people, stick to sports. Well, here's something. Politicians, stick to politics. Stay out of sports.
Yeah.
Congress, we don't need to deal with these steroids in baseball. Stick to what you should do. Stick to politics. Stick to your policy. Forget about sports. We got other people to worry about that. I mean, you don't hear that, do you?
No.
No. You know, if I'm talking with my good friend who is an insurance agent, and he's talking about sports, do I tell him, hey, man, stick to insurance? And that's all you can talk about? I mean, I can't. My insurance agent cannot talk about mortgages. You know why? He's not a real estate broker.
Yeah.
He should. I mean, what is he doing? My insurance agent shouldn't talk about baseball. He doesn't coach it. He doesn't play it. He never did. Stick to insurance. I mean, how dumb does that sound? It's just a lazy thing for people to say. Extremely lazy. Your thoughts on that?
I can't really add much to that. It's insane to me when people say those kind of things. Stick to sports. Like, what do you mean? Like,
you're a farmer. Stick to farming. You can't talk about anything else.
The majority of people that are going to say something like stick to sports don't have a job or don't do anything in sports. They're sports fans.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So we're fans of people. Okay. Like, if we put out and say, you know, Patrick Mahomes is an example of doing the video, you know, somebody tells him to stick to sports instead of the Black Lives Matter movement. Well, okay, you don't understand who he is. First of
right.
all, if you say that, because he's a black man in this Black Lives Matter video.
Right.
If you want to stick to something, stick to your people and stick to everybody. Stick to anything you want to stick to, because if you have conviction about what you're arguing, stick to that.
Yeah.
Don't stick to one thing. Nobody in this life sticks to one thing. Do I stick to sports and ignore my family? That's what that comment is
exactly.
to Patrick Mahomes after doing something in a Black Lives
right.
Matter video. If somebody says that to him or Tyrann Mathieu or any of those guys, stick to sports. So I can't stick to my family. I can't stick to what I believe in. It doesn't.
My dad's black. My mom's white.
Yeah, it's like none of that. It makes no sense at all for that right. comment to be made to anybody. In anything, and stick to politics. It's not. It makes no sense if you're just a politician and that's all you do. And I just say stick to politics. Well, they have families and other lives too outside of right. what they do in Washington or Topeka or in right. Kansas, whatever. Yeah. This is like understand what you're actually saying when you say that. You think you're being clever.
Yeah, but you're not.
But it's nowhere near that.
Well, if you're a fan and you have a kid that plays in the game and you question the coach, I'd love for the coach to say, just stick to what you do.
Yeah.
Go back to farming.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. How's that going to come off? It's going to be insulting.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
I think there's somebody at our door. I'll be somebody was knocking. Yeah. And the other thing, too, and this is interesting because, you know, in sports, and Patrick Mahomes alluded to this, and other athletes have as well, white and black athletes, is that there might, and I'm sure there's racism within the locker rooms, okay? I'm not going to say there isn't. But do you, isn't it amazing how sports teams with black players and white players and Mexican players and Latino and Asian American and Korean, I can give you so many, of all kinds of descents, isn't it amazing? And there's even language barriers. Look at the Kansas City Royals for crying out loud.
A perfect example.
Venezuela with Salvador Perez for crying out loud. I mean, is it amazing? Yordana Ventura, Dominican Republic. That's a group of guys that won a World Series together, okay? Christian Colon. I mean, how in the world how could they possibly coexist with one another? You know how? Because they get to know each other.
Yeah.
They go on road trips together. They talk to each other. They have conversations. They you know, there's a lot of people that I know personally that I will guarantee you have never, ever sat down for more than 5 minutes, if ever, with a person of any other race or color and had a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Other than hi, bye, how you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
They haven't.
Talk to them, yeah.
So how do you know anything about other people? And the same thing could be said if you're a black person and you never sat down with a white person. It goes both ways. How do you know?
For sure, yeah.
You've got to understand both sides, or you should try to understand both sides. But that's something that some people aren't capable of doing or refuse to do, and so forth. Now, getting to the kneeling part real quick. This is an idea I have, all right? And I think it is a compromise, and I don't think we're going to see it. But I would think it would be better for the message that everyone is trying to get across, and I think it would be okay. But I don't know if we've already unwrapped the box to where you just can't put the genie back in the bottle, okay? I have had people lately that are still all over, they're stuck on the flag. They're stuck on the flag. And listen, I am one that respects and reveres the flag, all right? I always stand up at attention. I put my hand over my heart. I don't put my hands behind my back. I put my hand over my heart. I'll even be squeezed in a really tight table at a basketball game, and I stand up, and I got pain in my legs because I barely can squeeze with the table so I can stand, and I could sit with my headset on because I got to hear commercials, whatever else. And I try to take my headset off. I try to stand up for, you know, a two-minute band rendition of the national anthem, whatever it may be. I believe, I think of the flag as Drew Brees does. I do. I really do. At the same time, I am objective, and the objective word is something people don't have in their vocabulary in some cases. But I'm objective to where I know that not everybody thinks of the flag as I do, okay? Not everybody thinks exactly the same way. Just like not everybody thinks the same way of a certain player, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Patrick Mahomes, Drew Brees, Kurt Warner, or whoever it may be that pops in your head. We don't all agree on who's the best player of all time, right?
Yeah.
So why do we have to agree on you have to do exactly this during the flag? And some people are so bothered by kneeling. I'm going to repeat it one more time. And listen, it bothers me. I grew up. It bothers me when I saw people kneeling during the anthem. It did. It did bother me. I'm not going to lie. It did. Mm-hmm. And it probably still probably bothers me when I see it. If I'm in a game and I see a lot of people kneel during the anthem, it probably will bother me. But I'm not going to go out with all this vile and venom and demand that people have to do everything my way or the highway, because I have the right to do what I want to do during the anthem. And I will bring this up over and over, and I don't know why it does not become a big deal. For all those people that jump all over anybody that protests anything during the national anthem, where the hell are you when the Chiefs fans chant "Home of the Chiefs" at the end of the anthem. They change the wording of the national anthem. Why aren't you turning and telling people, no, 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 don't do that? Why aren't you more vocal all over social media and tell people that's disrespecting our anthem and our country? Happens when the flag's standing, isn't it? Where are those people?
Yeah.
I don't hear from them. I don't. So let's be consistent with the argument. If you're offended by people kneeling during the anthem, I get it. Because like I said, I'm not super comfortable with it either. But I'm also not comfortable with people chanting "Home of the Chiefs" at the end of the anthem. Okay? And by the way, there are some people in this country who believe that the Chiefs have a racist mascot themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond the fact they do the tomahawk chop, and then on top of that, we say "Home of the Chiefs" at the end of the anthem. You'll go to other sporting events. I've been at a KU or K-State game, and they say "Home of the Chiefs."
You can hear that little part that's saying "Chiefs" at
it's
the end.
It's like, why? This isn't even a Chiefs game.
Royals games even, you know.
It's insulting to me. Where's the angst and anger about that? I don't hear it. Do
listen,
you?
Well, listen, that was my biggest contention because Marcus Peters was doing it when he was with the Chiefs. He started taking a knee, and everybody, and I was like, okay, if you're going to sit here and complain about Marcus Peters taking a knee, you better not be yelling "Home of the Chiefs" at the end of that anthem.
Mm-hmm.
You better not be doing it because not one's different than the other.
You better not be running to the concession stand and not stopping to honor the flag.
Yeah. You can argue to the cows come home all you want. One's not different from the other. It's not. If you're about what you think you're about respecting America and respecting the flag, one's not different than the other. You are changing the words to that anthem that you're supposedly trying to protect.
Mm-hmm.
One is not different than the other. And if you think it is,
mm-hmm.
I can't help you.
The other thing I'm going to repeat one more time.
You have the freedom to say "Home of the Chiefs" at the end of that, too.
Yes,
let me express that.
Absolutely.
Just like he has the freedom to take a knee,
or sit.
You have the freedom to sit or whatever he wants to do.
Right.
You have the freedom, and they're not going to kick you out of the stadium for saying "Home of the Chiefs" either, by the way.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
I'm pretty serious about that part of it because it drives me nuts.
No, it's so hypocritical. Yeah. It's ridiculous. So here's my idea. And we'll get to the play-by-play classic here in about 5 minutes. Here's my idea, and this is a compromise. And people out there, listen, it's just an idea, all right? You can hate on it all you want. You can love it all you want. You can take it with a grain of salt. This is my idea. And let me put some background to this. Where is the horrible angst and anger towards Nate Boyer, a Green Beret that served our country and our military? You don't know who Nate Boyer is? Maybe you should start doing some research. Nate, but I'll help you. I'll save you some time. Nate Boyer is a former Seattle Seahawks, former NFL player who served in our country, and he was a Green Beret, and he was all ticked off about Colin Kaepernick. He found or saw a video that Colin Kaepernick was sitting during the national anthem. He reached out after getting really mad. He said, quite frankly, he was pissed off. That's his words, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I reached out to Colin Kaepernick and said, you know what? There's got to be a reason why he's sitting during the anthem. He hasn't done this before. Why is he doing it now? So he reached out to Colin Kaepernick. Kaepernick was moved by the fact somebody reached out to him from the other side. They met, they talked for over an hour. What a concept. Have a conversation. Over an hour, they talked. And Nate Boyer said, listen, Colin, I just, you know, there are people who have served this country, this and that. It really bothers me that you sit during the anthem. And so he came up with what he thought was a good compromise. Nate Boyer, a white Green Beret, all right, served our country, said to Colin Kaepernick, listen, man, I think if you want to protest here, I get where you're coming from now. Instead of sitting, I think it'd be better if you knelt. And he said the reason I recommend he knelt was because that is a form of reverence for those that have fallen. You see it a lot of times when you have people that have served this country at cemeteries, people take a knee, right?
Mm-hmm.
So forth and so on. So this was a person that served our country, that is white, who was originally really mad, like a lot of people maybe still are. And he's the one that recommended Colin Kaepernick to kneel during the anthem. Why aren't people really mad at Nate Boyer?
Mm-hmm.
It was his idea to kneel. So with that background, I am like a lot of people out there in the world today in regards to I'm not super comfortable in regards to kneeling during the anthem. Okay? I'm not. I got to get used to it. And you may say, well, you don't have to get used to it. Yeah, I do. I do if I want to watch sports. I'm going to have to get used to it. Now, if you're going to sit here and say, I'm done with sports and I'm out and I don't want to get used to it, that's your opinion. That's your choice. And power to you if you don't want to watch sports anymore. If that means you're not going to listen to sports talk anymore, you're not going to watch sports anymore, then stick to it. Don't be one of those people that in one day says, I'm done with baseball after the strike. And then when it comes back 6 months later, you're at a game talking about what great time you had. Because I know those people. Mm. So if you're going to stand up for what you believe in one way or the other, wrong or right, like Dusty said, have the conviction to do that. And somebody out there listening goes, listen, I do have the conviction to say that. I'm all about the flag. You should. Everyone should stand up and honor the flag. And once again, you have the right to that opinion, and I'm not going to argue with your opinion. But also, other people have the right to have a different opinion than you, and they have a right to do different things than they do. That's just the way the world rolls, okay? So, here's my idea. Instead of the players kneeling during the anthem, why can't we do this? Here's my idea. On Thursday night, first game of the season, which may or may not have fans, it's Thursday night, Chiefs going to celebrate, right? Mm-hmm. At Arrowhead. Thursday night in front of the whole world, because that'll be the first official NFL regular season game. Of course, it could happen preseason, whatever, first preseason game. I don't care. Here's my idea. If get the players, the captains, they go to midfield, right, before every game and do a coin toss.
Yeah.
Captains are both sides, come to the middle of the field in front of everybody, right? And it's televised, cameras are on them, and there's a referee, whether he's white or black, doesn't matter. And before they do the coin toss, they all take their knee or whatever they want to do. Link arms, take a knee, whatever. And right when they do that, everybody else in the stadium that wants to do it has the freedom to do it. If they don't, the guy go to the bathroom, fine, whatever. If any players on the sideline, managers, team personnel, anybody, cheerleaders, any of them, if they want to take a knee at that time or link arms, whatever it is, it would show a form of solidarity or unification. And the ones that don't take a knee will stand out, because I think there'll be more that's going to take a knee that won't. But, and then if you want to hold it and keep it there for 15 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, you know, something to represent something, you know, Kobe Bryant, we had the, you know, 24-second shot clock violation, 8-second violations represent his numbers. Those were tributes, right? Mm-hmm. Or honoring someone. If that's what they want to do, whoever wants to do, I say they as anybody, then I think that would still be a powerful message. And I've heard some people say, oh, we keep it in the locker room. No. That doesn't do any good. They have a platform. They have a right to exercise this. And yes, they can still do it during the anthem. But I think that would help show that, hey, we're trying to reach out from this side. We understand it might rub people the wrong way here, so we're going to do this. Will it still be criticized? Yes. Every single form of protest in America is always criticized. That's why it's a protest, right? They're protesting something. But if they did that right before the coin toss, and you just took a knee and just everybody went quiet, a moment of silence we have for fallen people sometimes, right, at ball games, we can honor that, can't we?
Yeah.
And those everybody wants to do it for 30 seconds, 10 seconds, 15, whatever. And if the official wants to take a knee, fine. If the commissioner wants to take a knee and do that, fine. If it's the head coach, fine. If it's the manager, the trainer, the equipment man, whoever, cheerleaders, fine. Fans, fine. But that would be, I think, a compromise instead of doing it during the anthem, because I understand both sides, ladies and gentlemen, and I hope you can too. I understand where people come from when they get bothered or upset or ticked off about people kneeling during the flag and the anthem. I get that. I really, truly do. And so maybe we would get the message to be heard a little bit better if you did that not during the anthem. And that's been my whole contention, not yesterday, not last week, not since George Floyd was murdered. My contention has been, and you know this on this show, and you go back and rewind the tape, in 2016 when Colin Kaepernick took a knee, I said, listen, I don't agree with it, but he has the right to do it. But you know what I said. I said, I think he's doing it during the wrong part of the whole pregame, because it's going to take away and muddle his message. Nobody's going to hear his message because everybody's going to be ticked off that respects the flag, especially those of have people in their families that have served our country, given us ultimate sacrifice, so forth and so on. And I stick to that comment. I still believe it muddles the message or covers it up that they're trying to get out. So that's what I would like to see. That would be a compromise, would it not?
Yeah, I feel like it would.
Don't you think people would be a little bit more like, take a deep breath and go, phew, I really didn't want to give up football if they knelt, but I told people I'm going to give up football if they kneel during the anthem. But they're kneeling, but it's not during the anthem. Okay, I can watch football. Don't you think some people would feel better about that?
Yeah, for sure.
Because I would.
Yeah.
And that's selfish of me, I know.
Yeah. And that part of it has, you know, been discussed so much that I think people know where both of us stand on that.
Sure.
I stand in basically the same way you do. It's just, and I've always said that as, and I, you know, I have family members that have said, you know, I fought for everybody's right to do what they want to do.
Right.
To have the freedoms to do those things for everybody, not just one person that believes this or one person that believes this. I've, you know, got a guy in my family that brought about a 25-year Navy veteran, you know, and right. spent his career there, you know, and he says those things. And it means something to me when I hear that from somebody in my family that that has done that and that has put that much time into serving their country. I just, I feel like, who am I to say what's right? If Nate Boyer says this and my cousin Kevin says this, who am I to say something different than what they're saying?
Right.
Because they were there. They were on the battle.
Absolutely.
Lines. They're in it.
Right.
I wasn't. I respect it.
Absolutely.
Because I know they were in it. Because right. I know them. I know my dad was in it. I mm-hmm. respect all that.
Mm-hmm.
But who am I to say something different than what a 25-year Navy vet would say
yeah.
about he did that for everybody's freedom.
Yeah. That's right. Not
I
just
can't argue
people.
Anymore. It's over for me personally.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Before we get to the play-by-play classic here in a few minutes, NASCAR banned the Confederate flag Wednesday, changing their stance from a longstanding policy to disallow the use of the Confederate flag symbol in any official NASCAR capacity. The news comes after a week of many, including NASCAR's Bubba Wallace, speaking out against the presence of the controversial flag at races. NASCAR's statement said the following: "The presence of the Confederate flag at NASCAR events runs contrary to our commitment to providing a welcoming and inclusive environment for our fans. Our competitors are an industry. Bringing people together around a love for racing and the community that it creates is what makes our fans and sport special. The display of the Confederate flag will be prohibited from all NASCAR events and properties." That's a pretty big move and step by NASCAR, because what is NASCAR considered? Who is it? What's their fan base considered?
They're considered rednecks, if you want to put
yes,
it that way.
Yes, yes, or white, yeah, white Americans,
white Americans,
white men.
Yeah,
although women do too.
Stereotype, just like
it
a
is.
Lot of things.
It absolutely is, and probably unfair.
Yeah.
In response, NASCAR driver Ray Ciccarelli, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. I've never heard of him before. Announced on his Facebook Wednesday that he intends on leaving the sport at the end of the season. Here's what he said, and I quote: "Well, it's been a fun ride and dream come true, but if this is the direction NASCAR is headed, we will not participate after the 2020 season is over. I don't believe in kneeling during the anthem, nor taking people's right to fly whatever flag they love. I could care less about the Confederate flag, but there are people that do, and it doesn't make them a racist. All you are doing is effing one group to cater to another, and I ain't spending the money we are to participate in any political BS, so everything is for sale." End of quote. He's a part-time competitor in the NASCAR Gander RV and Outdoor Truck Series, driving the 49 truck. He'll finish out the season, then he says he's done. Listen, I give him all the respect in the world to do what he can do here. He doesn't want to be a part of it anymore. He wants to quit racing because of this, and he doesn't agree with it. He has the right to that stance as well.
He does.
Absolutely. So I have no problem with that either. At all. Soccer is repealing the policy that players must stand during the anthem. They're basically saying, you know, if you kneel, you're okay. We're not going to make you stand up. You have the ability to kneel. So soccer has already reversed that. The PGA Tour, good news here. They are going to have golf starting today, already started. It's the Colonial, and it's a Charles Schwab Challenge at the Colonial in Fort Worth, Texas. There are no fans. It's going to be a little bit weird. They're supposed to, like, wipe off the clubs and not hand between golfers and this and that, social distancing, and it was all violated yesterday at the Wednesday practice round, by the way. So you knew that was coming. You know, we're creatures of habit, right?
Absolutely.
The same way with T-ball that we've had in baseball. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. Have we all been 6 feet apart? No. Have we given each other fist bumps and high fives? It's habit. I've done it a couple times, like, oh, wait a minute, fist bump be better. Although there's no proof that there's anything that moves surface to surface. That's what they've come out with. Remember
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
So then why does it matter if I fist bump somebody or give them a high five? I don't know, man. It's a different world we live in. There's no doubt about
no
it.
No question.
Oh, man. All right, let's go back to a very cool time back before all of this started in regards to the whole COVID-19 pandemic, 2019, which was a long time ago. It was last year. Late October, the Lady Trojans taking on Silver Lake. Silver Lake had been a thorn in their side when they'd been at state before. They had never beaten them before. Silver Lake is defending state champion. They beat Beloit in the semis the year before. And Beloit wanted to make a statement because they felt like it was their time to move on and get past Silver Lake. And by golly, they did. Brandy Paul joins us here in a moment to reflect on that. We'll play the third set of that semifinal where Beloit punched their first ever ticket to a state championship volleyball match. Enjoy this play-by-play classic tomorrow. Jerry Voorhees, former coach at Thunder Ridge, will join us. A great game. Eight-man Division II regional playoffs from 2011, Ashland at Thunder Ridge. And we'll have more classics next week. And remember, please remember, folks, if we say anything that makes you uncomfortable, or if we say anything that upsets you, just remember that it's all about challenging one another and trying to be as objective as we can. Not everybody's going to agree with everybody's opinion. That's what makes our country great. We have diversity, we have a voice, and we have the freedom to use it. Some people may not agree on how it's used. That is very true. But we can at least, the key words I keep saying over and over, and some people absolutely do it and others do not, and my motto has become this: be objective and listen. It's my four-word motto. I even told my oldest son the other day, be objective and listen. That's the motto, one of the mottos I'm living by now too. And if you can do that, and you can be objective, you can listen, and you still feel the way you do, that's how you feel. Like, we ain't gonna change your feelings. I mean, you're not gonna change people's feelings per se, but if there is, and the other thing somebody said the other day that I know that's very close to me, a very important person in my family said, whatever happened to compassion? Strong comment. Makes you stop, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Don't we all want compassion? Yeah. Welcome back to the Sports Ticket. This week, we're playing some of the classics. Not music, but KD Country 94 play-by-play classics, games we have aired over the course of the years, whether it be on KD Country 94 or Z96.3, whether it be football, girls, or boys basketball, or volleyball. And one of the classics we had when it comes to volleyball was back in November of 2019, November 2nd, 2019, Beloit and Silver Lake, the 3A state volleyball state semifinals. Beloit had played Silver Lake the year prior at the state tournament. Silver Lake had knocked them out. Beloit had seen Silver Lake before at state competition, hadn't been able to get over the hump, but they were able to get it done in November of 2019 to move on to their first ever state championship match. And here to relive that big semifinal win over Silver Lake is head coach of the Lady Trojan volleyball team, Brandy Paul. Brandy, this was a matchup I know your team wanted, and Silver Lake, a defending champion, and it was a grueling match in regards to it went the distance, and you end up winning the first set. They come back and win the second set, and then the third set was back and forth, and you come away with the victory, and I know you guys were all on an emotional high after that win.
Yes, that was a really good win just for our program overall. You know, Silver Lake, we've never beat Silver Lake, and, you know, in our heads, they're this program, which I know for the last 7 years that I've coached, seven seasons, they've been to state. They're one of them powerhouses in volleyball. And they had beat us last year to make it to the finals and then went on and won it. And that was the same returning team. I think they graduated one girl, their libero, that we had seen the year before. So that was huge for our program. And I just thought we played lights out against them. That was one of them games you come off the adrenaline, but I think we gave it so much during that game that it hurt us for the finals. You know, we talked about it, the Hoisington, and we come off that adrenaline, we play lights out the next game. But I think we gave it all we had in that game. And honestly, then we go into the championship, and it was just like, oh, we made it. But I was so proud of the girls, and that was just a huge win for our program, just not even the state tournament, but just for our program to get over that hump and believe in ourselves that we can, you know, beat a Silver Lake team. Yeah, it was amazing. One of the ones I'll never forget.
What made your group special, I thought, was that you had kids that had been there the year before, but also kids that would come through in crunch time, as I call it.
Travis ahead to Meyer. They're going to go to Larson. Beloit needs it, and they did it. 23-21. Man, did Beloit need that.
And to me, crunch time, obviously trailing against Hoisington, but that was a three-set match, which leads me to my point, is that if I remember correctly, I think you guys were 8-1 or something like that in three-set matches, and that match against Silver Lake was a three-set match, and you guys found ways to make plays when you had to in crunch time in the third set.
Yeah, and that goes back with the experience. You know, we were playing with seven seniors, just experience. Them girls had played together. And it goes down to, you know, it's just they had that killer instinct, that, you know, refuse to lose attitude. And that's what these girls had. And that's something you don't teach. That's just something that girls have or boys have. And, you know, they just found ways. and, you know, they weren't going to let each other down. They played as a team, and it was just, it was an amazing group to watch.
Well, what's it like to finally get over the hump from the standpoint of, you mentioned it, you'd never beaten Silver Lake, you met them in the state tournament multiple times before. They're kind of the Goliath of volleyball in 3A for the most part, with tons of state championships. And for you to actually, you know, slay the monster, the Goliath per se, it had to be an incredible feeling. What was that like for your team? Because you did have to turn around and play a match fairly soon after that. That's one bad thing about volleyball sometimes, is you can have an emotional, unbelievable match, but you don't get to enjoy it as much as if it would be a basketball or a football or a baseball game.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't get to, you know, go back and look and see what we did and then prepare for the next one. I tell you what, I'll never forget that experience in the locker room after we did that. It was absolutely amazing. We always work on so hard of just believing in ourselves and, you know, having that mental toughness. And that was one of the steps we've been working on, you know, against teams like that for the 7 years that I've been coaching. So to actually get over that hump, it was amazing, because, you know, I knew the girls finally, they believed. They believed how good they were. And sometimes it just comes down to that, you know, having that mental toughness and knowing that you can do it, knowing you are as good as another program. And so I think for, you know, just for our program as a whole, not just for that team, just for our program as a whole, is we can do this. You know, we can compete with the powerhouses in volleyball. We are that good. And so, you know, that's an amazing feeling. I can't even describe it. And, you know, that was as good as getting the state champion right there for me as a coach. And, I even think it was that exciting for the girls, just with their reaction in the locker room.
The win over Silver Lake put Beloit into their first ever state championship match. We go back and relive this. We'll begin in the third set. It's the 3A girls state volleyball semifinal from Hutchison. Beloit versus the perennial champion, so it seems, Silver Lake. Beloit trying to knock off Silver Lake. We pick it up in the third set for November 2nd of 2019.
Beloit with the ball, going right to left in this third set with control. Now Silver Lake has it on the attack and the spike, and that did not get over the net. 1-0 Beloit in set three. Anna Pearson to serve from right to left. Coming in will be Linda Meschellini, a 5'11 senior, in for the first time in this match. Interesting move by Coach Johnson, their 12th year's head coach. Low flat serve. It's important to get to a great start in set three. Here's a spike, and it's put in there. The missile from Lamprecht, who is an all-state performer from a year ago. 5'7 senior outside hitter, and we're tied at one. Pearson goes out. Darby Odell's in on this rotation. Odell in the back row. Set the serve as Taylen Hoover, a junior. Down the middle, drum. Pass it ahead to Meyer. Meyer sets it up for Bovey. Bovey with the dink is covered as she tips it over this double team block of Silver Lake. Cross court, Larson. Now to Travis, back to Shea. Kaboom! 2-1. Beloit in set three. Jessica Meyer to serve from right to left in the white uniforms. Beloit, Silver Lake in the white with the maroon numerals. Here's the spike dug out by Drum in the back row. Meyer to Larson. Larson over the double team block, floats it over. Now, quick set. Meyer's there to cover. That caused problems earlier for Beloit. Now the Eagles on the attack left to right, and able to put it in is Lamprecht, and we're tied at two. In set number three, winner gets Royal Valley for the state championship. In about 10 minutes after this match concludes, the loser will play Cheney for third, and that's not a match you want to be in. Is third place, at least not right now, you don't. Low line drive serve. Travis, good pass ahead. Controls it. Larson winds up, and bad pass. Boyd gets it back. Here's a set. Nobody's ready, so Travis hits it over. Boyd was not organized that time. And now Silver Lake's not really doing much with it either. Meyer, Travis, ahead to Larson. Larson goes for it. Partially blocked. Silver Lake on the attack. Quick set. Cross court. Dug by Drum. Great job by Jamie. Now Larson will hit it over. Silver Lake will have another opportunity. 2-2 in the third. This is Cook blocked in by Larson. Dug out by Burkhart. And Silver Lake will hit it over. Odell to Meyer. Here's Shea again. Cross court. And Silver Lake's going to track it down, though. And they get it over. Great defense by the Eagles. Now Meyer sets it up for Bovey. Bovey hits it long. 3-2 Silver Lake. In set three. Coach Paul giving some advice to Trista Bovey. if she's saying just follow through on it. 3-2 Silver Lake in set three. Beloit the challenger versus the defending state champion. Larson with the spike. Couldn't go all out on that one. Now Lamprecht will hit it, and I hit the tape, and it's out. That should be Beloit point. There's a tip. Oh, there's a tip, so that's a point for Silver Lake. 4-2 Silver Lake. Can't let the Eagles get too much separation here in set three. Served by Burkhart. Drum. The Meyer, Beloit, not handling it on that service return very well. Good serve by Silver Lake. Here's the set and the spike, and it's in just inside the back line by Ellington Hogel. Timeout, Beloit, 5-2, Silver Lake, back a moment. Well, Silver Lake on a 4-0 run here in set three. And they lead 5-2. Beloit won the first set 25-20. Silver Lake answered 25-19. And now Silver Lake up in the deciding third set 5-2. Beloit has to dig deep. In order to be the champ, you gotta beat the champ. Meyer, the back set to Larson. Puts it down. Kapow. 5-3, Silver Lake. That was an important side out. Meyer to serve Jess, one of the seven seniors all-league a year ago. 5'5 stature, but big on heart. Serves it down. Hooper digs it out. They're gonna line it up, and through the block is Dagan Griffin, a junior. Silver Lake, a deep team. They put three or four players in off the bench. 6-3, Silver Lake with the lead. Now they're checking out substitution for the Eagles. Royal Valley winning 25-17 over Cheney. So they're got something trying to sort out rotation here for Beloit. Okay, so Goddard is in for Larson. After all that, okay, 6-3. Silver Lake will lead. Resume action, I think. The official now talking it over to Sarah Johnson. Okay, we got all figured out. 6-3 after the stoppage of play on the substitution. So Larson's out on this rotation. Beloit has to get a side out. Lamprecht to serve from left to right. Low line drive serve. Silver Lake has really served it well. Goddard stopped at the net. Beloit gets it though. And Goddard will get it over. Silver Lake chases after it. Now a chance for Goddard, but she couldn't finish it at the net. Silver Lake has it on the attack. It's blocked at the net. Meyer dives, keeps it alive. Travis will go over to Bovee. Bovee puts it away. Off the block of Hogel. That was a much-needed point. Pearson coming in for Odell. So Pearson back out front along with Goddard and Travis. Boy in the white unis with the black numerals outlined in orange, moving right to left. Jump serve by Bovee. Down the middle, Burkhart to Libero. Get to the head. They're going to go over to Cook. Excuse me, that's Cobb. Cobb dug out in the back row by Drum. Now to Goddard. Goddard goes deep. Burkhart handles it. Lamprecht passes ahead. And now Cobb. Oh, man. Cobb mishits it right into the net. 6-5. Silver Lake in set three. Two big points there for Beloit. Down 6-3. You really don't want to be down more than 3 points in rally scoring if you can avoid it. Here's a serve by Bovee. It's a nice one down the near sideline. Eagles on the attack. The spike across court. Travis had problems handling it, but Travis gets it over. Wow, good job by McKenzie. Here's a set for Pearson. Pearson goes for it. And hammers it home. And that's the first big-time spike we've seen from Hannah today in this match. 6-6. That'll hopefully give her some confidence. Bovee to serve. They set it up cross court, and that's a winner. Well done by Dagan Griffin. From the left-hand side, back across to the right side on the sideline. 7-6, Silver Lake. Got a feeling this one's going to come down to a point, a crazy point. And this could go 25-23, 26-24, 27-25. Here's the serve, cross court. Bovee, nice pass ahead to Travis. They set it up for Pearson, and Pearson off the tape, calls over and falls in. We're tied at 7. Boy, trying to take out the defending state champion in the state semifinals today. 40-3, Boyd's record. Here's a serve by McKenzie Travis. Silver Lake going to our right. Set it up for Hoover. Pops it over. Goddard to Travis. Going to go back to Page. Page with the set deep in the back. And it's good. Page Goddard with a deep set. Paints the back line. First time I've seen her do that this year. 8-7 Beloit. Heads up play by the senior. Good vision. Travis, the sophomore, serves it down the middle. Boy, crowd into this. Now a block by Goddard, but it got over the net and through. Well, good try on the solo block. Lamprick was able to finish it off. We're tied at 8 in set 3. Ellington Hogel serves it into the net. Beloit with the point and Beloit's first lead of this third set. They're down early 5-2. 9-8 Beloit. And Larson's back in. Goddard getting some high fives on the bench to my right. Here's the set. They go to Hoover. Block to the net. A solo block by Jess Meyer, the 5-5 senior, with a block on Hoover. That's a nominee for the HR block. Block of the match. 10-8 Beloit. Silver Lake, the back set. They go to Hoover, and she sneaks it through the block of Larson. 10-9 Beloit in set 3. At this point, neither team can afford a lack of focus. Every point is so crucial. The serve by Cobb, Travis, Meyer. Here's Larson. Blocked at the net. Travis gets it over, and Silver Lake can't handle it. McKenzie, a little fortunate. She couldn't handle that pass, and she bumped it over. She didn't mean to, but Silver Lake wasn't ready for it. Romero Burkhardt dove for it, but hit underneath the net. 11-9. Good serve cross court by Pearson. Lamprecht blocked to the net and punched over by Larson. No, that should have been a lift. They didn't call it. Now Beloit has it. Here's Travis. They're going to go to Shea. Shea through the block. And Beloit's up 12-9 and set 3. Anna Pearson the serve it. 12-9 Beloit in the third set. Low liner. Silver Lake handles it. They're going to set it up for Lamprecht. Lamprecht hits it in the net. 13-9 Beloit. I thought Silver Lake could call a timeout here. They're not. Beloit was down 5-2. They're now at 13-9. They got to keep the pressure on. Here you go, Hannah. Put it over. Ah, dang it. Hits it into the net. That bails out Silver Lake a little bit there. But, hey, as I said, you want to go for it. Hannah went for it. 13-10. Pearson goes out. Odo is in as a defensive specialist in the back row. Beloit needs a side out. Hoover serves it, and that's wide. She was trying to go cross court, and she missed. So service error for service error. 14-10 Beloit in set 3. Meyer to serve. What a solo block she had moments ago. Here's a set. They go to Lambrick. Meyer trying to keep alive and cannot. 14-11 Beloit. In the third and deciding set, defending state champion Silver Lake versus the number one seed in this tournament, third-ranked team in the state, Beloit, 40-3 on the year, school record for victories in the season, looking for 41. Meyer, back set to Shea. Shea blocked, covered there by Odell. Now Meyer is going to set up for Travis. Travis pops it over. Silver Lake covers. Eagles have it. It goes to Lamprecht. Lamprecht hit it into the tape, and at the point, Beloit. So Beloit is now up 15-11. In the third set, Shea Larson to serve. Shea from the near corner, from right to left, puts it down the sideline. Here's a quick set, the spike, the dink, nope, it's covered by Meyer. Here's Travis going to Goddard, come on Paige. Oh, she hits it long. 15-12, Beloit have a 3-point lead. They need 10 more points. Got to win by two, and got to win two out of three sets. Lamprecht to serve, 5'7 senior. Outstanding talent. Going to play D1 softball. Good pass ahead by Odell. They're going to go to Page again. Goddard off the block. And Silver Lake's just going to have to get it over. Hoover does. Boyd has an opportunity. Odell to Meyer. They're going to go to Page again. Page off the block and a point. Well, this is big because now Pearson comes in on that side out. So now you got Pearson and Goddard back up front. That is a big side out and a huge spike by Page Goddard. Because Pearson and Larson were both out on that rotation. 16-12. Here's Bobie. Serve deep in the back. That could have been a lift. No call. And the spike stuck Pearson blocks it. A solo block and a point for Beloit. 17-12. Here's a serve by Moby. Deep in the back row, Lamprecht. Ahead. They go to Cobb. Blocked in the net by Pearson again. Silver Lake, they'll punch it over. Blocked again, and it's on the line. No, that was in. Oh, my goodness, I thought that was in. That was really close by Pearson. My goodness, I thought that was in. 17-13. That would have given Beloit a six-point lead. But the line judge is standing on the line, so you have to defer to her. Beloit's got to bounce back after that tough call. 17-13. They go to Hannah. Hannah blocked at the net. Drum dives and keeps it alive. Travis, now to Goddard. Goddard will set it in the back, and they call that a lift. Dang it. 17-14, Beloit. Well, at that point, it would have been called in. And I'm not saying it was the wrong call, but it was close. It would have been 18-12. Beloit needs a side out right here. Here's the serve. It goes to Meyer. Here's Travis. Now they go to Goddard. Goddard. They get it over. Now a spike and a point for Silver Lake. Timeout, Beloit. 17-15. Trojans by two in the third set. Back in a moment. Wade Gerster back with you in Hutchinson. 17-15, Beloit in the third set against defending champ Silver Lake. They serve it. The Eagles left to right. Low line drive serve. Drum to Travis. Going to go to Pearson. Cross court set. Punched up in the air. Silver Lake has a chance to cut it to one. Hoover's going to spike it. And Meyer, I think she'll let that go. Instead, Beloit will get it over. Meyer spikes it over. Burkhead ahead. They go far side. It's inside the antenna. Goddard with a good set. They'll go back to Page. Page puts it away off of Burkhart. The missile from the right arm of Paige Goddard, who, of course, had shoulder surgery after last volleyball season. She looks healthy now. 18-15, Beloit. Here's Mackenzie Travis, one of the more reliable servers for Beloit. Down the middle, Silver Lake on the attack. They're going to set it up for Hoover. Cross court, and Bobby can't handle it. That would have been in either way. I know Trista thought maybe I should have. That would have been out, but it wasn't. She had to go flip. 18-16, Beloit in set three. We have a substitution. Kayla Ross, 5'10", freshman. A good blocker is going to come in for Muschellini. So set to serve is Ellington Hogel. She's serving in the net last time. Beloit up by two. Here's the serve, cross court. Bovey, pass ahead. Travis sets it up for Pearson, and Beloit still has it. Meyer back to Hannah. Hannah, pop it over. Short! And Silver Lake's not home. Beloit giving Silver Lake a taste of the medicine. What a big side out. Goddard goes out. Larson is in. So you've got your two best spikers. Two leaders in kills. Pearson and Larson on the front now. Served by Drum, 19-16. Pass ahead. Here's the back set for Cobb. Thinks it over. Pearson sets it to Meyer. They're going to go to Shea. Shea has it blocked to the net. And a point for Silver Lake, 19-17. Dagan Griffin is known for Silver Lake. Beloit 6 points away from going to the state championship for the first time in school history. Jump served by Cobb. Bovey passes ahead. Meyer to Pearson. Pearson goes for it. It's hit over. Now Larson's going to spike in the back row. Burkhart has it. They're going to go back over to Lamprecht. Lamprecht, and that's long. That was long. The line judge started to say it was in, but it was long, and that was the right call. 20-17, Beloit in set three. You really want a timeout call by Silver Lake. Back in a moment. Welcome back. Hannah Pearson to serve for Beloit. Almost an ace. They go to Lamprecht, and she hits it into the net. 21-17, Beloit in the third set. Inching closer to a state championship matchup with Royal Valley. Here's Hannah. Serves it. Low line drive. Silver Lake trying to get it over. They spike it. And it's long by Hoover. 22-17. Timeout, Silver Lake. Back after this. Well, after the last Silver Lake timeout, Boyd scored two quick points. 22-17. Hannah Pearson to serve. Get it over, Hannah. 22-17 away in the third set. 3 points away. Pearson down the middle, Burkhart. They're going to set it up for Lamprecht. And a one-hand take try, but Travis can't get it. That's all right. Side out. 22-18, Beloit. Odell comes in for Pearson. Odo on the back row. That's why she's in for Pearson. Pearson not a back row player. Hoover's going to serve it. Beloit by four. Hoover had an error last time on her serve. Meyer's going to set it up for Larson, and Larson blocked at the net. 22-19. It wasn't a good set that time. And Jess Meyer knows it. 22-19, Beloit. See if Beloit can finish this thing. Hoover, a junior to serve. Hits it short and almost an ace. A one-handed dig by Travis for the step of the net by Ross. 22-20, Beloit. Silver Lake is not going to go down without a fight. They are the defending champions. Hoover to serve. It's the nitty-gritty. Crunch time. Travis to Meyer. They're going to go for Larson. Excuse me, that's Bobby. Oh, Burkhart with a great dig. Now Lampicked will go. Tug out by Odell. Here we go. They're going to go to Larson. Larson blocked to the net. Beloit still has it. And now a stop. Goodness gracious. Odell and Travis run into each other, both saying they had it to set it. One needed to defer. They didn't. They both went after it, and they both ran into each other and called for a lift. Here's Hoover to serve. 22-21. Travis ahead to Meyer. They're going to go to Larson. Beloit needs it, and they get it. 23-21. Man, did Beloit need that. Meyer to serve. Beloit by two. Come on, ladies. Finish this baby. Meyer serves it down the middle. Dug out. Here's the set. They go to Lamprecht. Down in the middle. Dug out by Drum. Opportunity. Larson blocked to the net. Meyer has it. Now to Bobby. They're going to go back to Shea. Cross court. And it's punched over. Drum has it for Beloit. They have an opportunity. They're going to go to middle. To Bobby. Puts it away off the double team block. 24-21, Beloit. Match point, Trojans. 24-21. Meyer to serve. Get it over Jess. She does. Cross court. Silver Lake on the attack. The spike. Block. Beloit will get it back. Bobby puts it down. Trista Bobby with a left-handed spike. And Beloit wins. Shea Larson almost in tears. She's so happy. The Lady Trojans are going to their first ever state championship volleyball match. Beloit has slain Goliath. The defending state champion loses to Beloit in three sets.
We hope you enjoyed that Katy Country 94 play-by-play classic. The 2019 3A state semifinal in volleyball at Hutchison between Beloit and Silver Lake. With the victory, Beloit picked up win number 41 of the season, which was a school record, and that win moved them into the state championship against Royal Valley. As Coach Brandy Paul mentioned earlier, before we replayed a portion of this broadcast, Beloit didn't have a lot of time to enjoy that huge win over Silver Lake and fell to Royal Valley in the state championship in straight sets. Despite the loss, Beloit finished second place, their best ever finish in state volleyball history. And for the second straight season, Beloit volleyball brought home a banner to hang in the gymnasium at Beloit High. The Trojans ended their season with a school record, 41 wins, as we mentioned, and just four losses. If you like a copy of that broadcast or any other broadcasts we've done in the past on Katy Country 94 or Z96.3 Lake, you can give us a call at 545-3220.